Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know that your pet's behaviors can provide clues to bigger energetic patterns in your life? Learn how your pet partnership and heart-centered connections can help you and your animal companions to heal and to grow spiritually. Stay tuned. Welcome to the Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, love and relationship healer, somatic body psychotherapist, and health and wellness coach, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Author of the Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me book series, the romantic novel Love in the Blizzard of Life, and creator of the upcoming six-week Healing Through Love lessons. So this show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, active men and women who keep proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond. After a decade of working at some of the most prestigious advertising agencies in New York City, Denise Mange left the glitz and glamour of Madison Avenue to pursue a true sense of fulfillment and soul's purpose, which she actually found in working with dogs. Upon certification through traditional obedience training programs, she realized there had to be more that could be done to honor the connection between pups and their humans. After studying with some of the top animal communicators, Denise developed her own unique brand of intuitive dog training to help pet parents forge a loving partnership with their pups through the mind, body, and energetic connection. And her site is petprana.com. So I am really excited to be speaking with you today, Denise Mange.
Oh, thank you for having me, Dr. Erica. And what a fun day to get together. In preparation for this interview, I was walking on the beach just to do a little meditation and get grounded. And I was so reminded by the beautiful bond that we share with our animals. I saw, you know, humans running along the beach with their dogs. But I also was reminded that our animal companions' guises. There was a woman who was walking with a parrot on her shoulder. And this parrot was just singing this beautiful song, and they were so bonded. So, you know, I just love this topic, and I love speaking on behalf of the animals and all the pets out there.
And I was also saying, when we talked a few minutes before, that many people really love their animal more than the people in their life.
They, you know, the beauty of our animal companions is they're arguably one of the most intimate relationships that we have in our lives. Because whereas we might be a little more guarded around other humans for fear of judgment, we know that our animal companions love us unconditionally. So they see us in our most joyous and our most vulnerable and everywhere in between. So they really help open our hearts and access some of that unconditional love, not only for them, but we also learn to turn that back towards ourselves.
But I did have an experience with a friend of mine who had an alcohol problem. And she obviously neglected the dog, even though she loved her dogs, but she neglected them. And they were being taken care of by somebody else. And when my friend came there, the dog kind of ran away from her, like didn't want to go back to her.
You know, we all I have. You know, we all have different relationships and lessons that we're learning from our animal companions. And, you know, I am quite intuitive, so I just kind of tap into the energy of that situation. Sometimes it just pops out at me. We might see that our animal companions are reflecting past dynamics and relationships to us. And it may be that your friend had a parent who also suffered from alcoholism or maybe a temper or had a condition that created that walking on eggshells, right? So a lot of times mm-hmm. when our parents have, you know, are alcoholics or are abusive or just, you know, they're very moody, we never know what to expect. So children, we kind of run away from them. It feels like mm-hmm. the animal companion might have been reflecting a little bit of that dynamic that your friend experienced growing up.
Wow. Okay, so let's get back. I usually start with this, but your topic is so fascinating. But anyway, please tell us about your education, background, work experience. What led you to leave a glitzy job on Madison Avenue in New York to work with dogs and their human owners?
Well, thank you for that question. And as you mentioned, I did, you know, spend 10 years working in advertising in New York City. And in retrospect, it was actually the perfect job leading up to what we're going to be discussing about today, which is kind of a mindful approach to dog training. Because advertising is all about understanding and observing trends, motivations, and reading between the lines and reading a room so that, you know, you're able to communicate in an effective way. And it's all about finding kind of harmony between people's unmet needs and your product. So in retrospect, it really helped me understand how to tap into energy and be that observer and observe those trends. And then when I decided after 10 years that it was no longer, you know, a viable profession for me, as you know, in New York City, it's, you know, the hours are crazy and my body started giving out, I started thinking about what the next chapter of my life would be. And that's where I thought in New York City I should open up a doggy daycare, right? Because I wanted to work with the animals. And in New York City, people work crazy hours and they need that service. And so mm-hmm. I thought if I'm going to open a doggy daycare, I better learn about, you know, animal behavior and dog behavior. And so that's where I went through a certification program in dog obedience training. And so at the completion of that course, you know, I started working one-on-one with humans and their animal companions, and I decided, forget the doggy daycare and the brick and mortar. I really like the one-on-one interactions because I'm so fascinated by the relationship and the dynamic between pets and their humans. So after a few, you know, years of working with pet parents and teaching dogs to sit and manage unwanted behaviors, I thought there had to be more that we could do to further the bonds, because just teaching them these commands just wasn't really honoring all the lessons they're here to share. And that's where I started picking up on the energy behind situations. And I started noticing trends in the home environment and how it affected the dog's behaviors and the human's behaviors and how energetic and intrinsically interconnected they are. So from that, I developed an intuitive brand of dog training where we're really translating our pets' behaviors to understand what broader energetic patterns they're reflecting back to us in our lives that are ready to be addressed.
It's all amazing what you're working with. But before we started, I also asked you something, and I don't want to forget to, even though this might be out of order, that I have a colleague working as a service dog that she works with. And I always thought to myself, you know, oh, that poor dog that has to, you know, abide by these rules and serve her. But you gave a new perspective on that. So please explain.
Absolutely. So just like us, our animal companions have different lessons and missions and jobs they want to accomplish here when they embody with us on earth in this reality at this time. You know, they're part of our soul family. So we never want to feel guilty about what's going on with our dog or how our dog's behaving in this lifetime, because a lot of times as pet parents, if my dog is being reactive, for example, or if they have a physical malady, once you understand that all our energy is interconnected and they might be reflecting, you know, an energetic pattern in us or blockages in us, a lot of pet parents go to that place of guilt of, oh gosh, so if I had done things differently, maybe my dog wouldn't be sick. That's definitely not the case, right? Our dogs are here with their own plans in life, their own lessons. The way I like to talk about it is, you know, think of it as we're doing a group project, right? We're with our animal companions reading the same book in class. And instead of writing separate book reports, we're just going to do a group project on it. So everything your animal companion is going through right now is part of their soul contract. It's part of their of what they're here to learn. We're just learning side by side.
Beautiful. So now I have a question. You talked about self-actualization and Abraham Maslow's theory of self-actualization. And what does that have to do with dog training?
So, you know, we talked a little bit about motivation, right? Because in order to put yourself in anyone's shoes, whether it's animal companion shoes or human shoes, we have to understand things from their perspective and what motivates them. And Abraham Maslow, you know, for those of you who aren't familiar with him, he was a humanist psychologist who proposed the theory of human motivation based on a hierarchy of needs. So he suggested that we all aspire to self-actualization. Our most basic physiological needs, like food and shelter, physical preservation, you know, having access to air and clean water, those need to be met before we can move on to the next set of needs, which includes concerns with our health, our wellness, you know, resources. Once, you know, we're physiologically safe, we have those needs met, we have, you know, we're well, we're healthy, then we can move on to more emotional needs, such as the need for intimacy, that feeling of connection and community, having esteem for ourselves and having heroes in our lives. Once all those needs are met, only then do we have the experience and the benefit to move on to needs of self-actualization, which includes, you know, considering our role in the universe and, you know, the spiritual and esoteric matters. So basically, it's a fancy way of saying, if I don't have food and I don't know where my next meal is coming from, I might not have the bandwidth to consider, you know, nirvana. You know, how do I reach nirvana, or, you know, how do I contribute more broadly to the world? So I propose that we can use those same principles for our animal companions, right? Because, of course, our animal companions need to feel safe and secure, and they need to have the right nourishment. And as pet parents, we make sure they're provided for in that way. You know, when we go up to the next level.
I have two reactions to that. One of them is having watched several of these videos with a dog that was traumatized and then was adopted a human. And it takes a while for that dog to feel safe and to finally be able to play and be intimate with the human. They start out just as fearful as any human would be in that circumstance. And the other piece, when you said nourishment, I've gone to this live event, The Truth About Cancer, and they had another event online, The Truth About Pet Cancer, and they talked about the foods that are being served to pets that are not nourishing them.
That's right. And so just as we're being more mindful about the food we ingest, you know, the trend is that we want the same for our animal companions. We want to be more mindful of the food we give them. And that also translates to, you know, just as we are motivated to reach self-actualization, so are our animal companions. So what I propose is they also have a spiritual mission here, right? So we're helping them achieve that by making sure they're physically taken care of, we're nourishing them, you know, mindfully with good, wholesome ingredients. We also are working towards it with traditional obedience training, where it's more collaborative with positive reinforcement, where we're teaching them things. Now, with all that under our belt, we're able to focus on our energetic connection with our animal companions, because at the end of the day, we are all here to learn, whether we're human or furry. We all have messages for each other.
My next question, this fits in perfectly, is how does working with chakras, as you talk about, healing with chakras, and healing, H-E-E-L-I-N-G, healing with chakras, and numerology and sacred geometry and divine archetypes and crystals? How does all of that affect the dog or an animal companion's behavior?
So as I was working with animal companions and their humans, I started realizing that there were energetic patterns associated with each of our pet's behaviors, right? So when I was working with an on-leash, you know, reactive dog, I noticed that there were a lot of issues around a lack of grounding for both pets and humans, the humans feeling that they were in a transitional period in their lives, the humans feeling like they had no control over their lives. So there were these huge themes that were coming up over and over again. So when I looked at Maslow's pyramid, I realized those are the physiological needs that weren't met. They didn't feel like they were grounded. And when you look at Maslow's pyramid to bring it all together, the first chakra reflects those physiological needs as well. So I started realizing that as we understand motivations building upon each other through Maslow, those same motivations are reflected in universal themes of each of our chakras. So the first chakra is associated with themes of I am, feeling grounded, a sense of security. And I realized that at its essence, on-leash reactivity was the pet behavior that was saying, hey, human, let's revisit the first chakra. So beyond that, the first chakra is also associated with the number one. And in numerology, that's all about fresh starts, new beginnings. So those people who were energetically in that transitional point, they were embarking on that new beginning, right? And one all has to do about being your independent individual, knowing who you are, that I am. So between numerology, sacred geometry, the colors of the chakra, these are all ways that we can tap into what our animal is trying to translate to us. You know, as we become observers, as we observe our animal's behavior more closely and we stop looking at them simply in terms of naughty or nice, but looking at them in terms of lessons and clues, we can kind of pan out and realize that everything in the natural world is a catalyst for growth and a clue to what may be going on. So numbers provide clues, sacred geometry provide clues. If I see a lot of circles or triangles, I know it has to do with a certain chakra and the universal themes associated with each. So the chakras really give us a systematic method to look at these universal themes more broadly in our lives and apply them to ourselves and our animal companions to shift the behavior.
So can you give another example of a different chakra that might be affected?
Absolutely. So, you know, the second chakra, that's a huge one right now because the second chakra has to do with energetic themes of the myth of separation, right? That thought that we're separated. It has to do with energetic matters of creation and guilt and, you know, desire and finding that balance between the masculine and the feminine, the yin and the yang, my desires and other people's desires, my needs and other people's needs. So the second chakra carries those universal themes, has to do with the number two, orange. It has to do with the half circle in terms of sacred geometry. Divine archetype represents the second chakra. It goes from the martyr to the empress, right? And that martyr has to do with sacrificing your needs for the perceived needs of others, right? Because I want to sacrifice myself. The pet behavior that's associated with the second chakra is separation anxiety. And that's because the second chakra has a lot to do with what people think about us or how we want to think, you know, or how people should perceive us. And it has to do with our desires to feel connected and that myth of separation. So sometimes we create a situation where there is separation anxiety because either we don't set strong enough boundaries in our life. You know, there's an example of a client I worked with, and he always wanted a dog. He wanted to feel the unconditional love of a dog, and he never wanted to feel separate. So he never wanted to set healthy boundaries with his animal companion. So it was to the point where he felt guilty eating his meal because he wanted to give it to the dog. If the dog wanted anything, he just wanted to give. And the dog, actually, the more he gave, the more the dog was kind of standoffish with him. And he didn't understand. He said, I want to give him the world. And what we work towards, you know, from an energetic standpoint is that he needs to create those boundaries. He needs to respect what he needs first and foremost, put on his oxygen mask before he could be a good pet parent to the dog. The dog was begging for those loving boundaries. So when he would leave home, the dog would bark and howl and freak out because he's like, me, come back to me. I want more time with you. So we had to learn to use a crate and create those boundaries for the dog and let the dog know that he has his loving space. And the beauty about separation anxiety and things around the second chakra is our animal companions are the best dress rehearsal to teach us how to implement loving boundaries in our lives. Because as pet parents, we're really giving. And how many times do we sacrifice our schedule or our needs in order to help someone else in our family or our friends? And then we embark on that martyrdom energy. So we really need to learn, and our animal companions teach us, to set healthy boundaries, respect our own desires and our needs, so that we can be the most complete person we can and contribute to the world with our sparkle and our gifts.
It's really pretty amazing that this is part of why people love their animals so much. They're learning and growing, and the animal is so tuned into them.
They are, you know, and it's interesting because pet parents are extremely intuitive, even if they don't give themselves credit for it. And what's so cool about, you know, this roadmap I've created, which is, you know, linking different pet behaviors to the universal themes of the chakras, is that when I discuss these with pet parents, they're like, oh my gosh, yes, of course, that makes perfect sense. It just helps verbalize what they already know.
So you mentioned something, so I want to ask you, what are the implications of being an empath and a pet parent?
So that is such a great question because so many of us are empaths for our pet parents. We're sensitive to energies. We pick up on energies. We try to filter other people's energies so that they feel better about themselves. But a lot of us just feel energy in our body all the time, and then it overwhelms us. So what our animal companions help us do is really understand what is our energy versus what is theirs. Because, for example, if I'm dealing with a client who's working with on-leash reactivity or their dog, you know, barks at people coming into the home, a lot of times your dog is triggered, so they have that frustrated energy. As an empath, I'm picking up on that energy and that kind of primal fear that they're experiencing. So my energy starts getting a little frenetic. I'm starting to pick up on it. Then our animal companions and empaths, they pick up on our energy, and it kind of cycles through us. So in those situations, our animal companions help us identify what is my primal fear versus what is their primal fear. And if it's theirs, I learn to separate it in my body, manage that energy, and bring in my own true energy into the situation. And this is a great dress rehearsal because if you're at work and there's a stressful situation and someone's upset, you might be taking on their energy without even knowing it. But in being more mindful with our energy and how it interacts with our animal companions, we learn to translate that same mindfulness around what's our energy and other people's energies in broader aspects of our lives with other humans. That just helps preserve us and keep us more authentic.
It's really amazing. People know a lot of this intuitively with their pet, but I have never heard it explained the way you are. So
yeah,
I have
and
some
it's,
questions.
You know, we're absolutely
go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, you know, they're our partners in crime. They're helping us through all of this. So we're in this together, which helps us realize there's so much more than this vulnerable little, you know, pet that we tend to think of. You know, they are amazing little beings with so much wisdom.
And that's also why some people who don't have a pet can't understand why somebody loves their pet so much. But the more you explain this, it really makes sense. All right, so there are four questions that help you call in more harmony, balance, and expansion in your life with your pet and relationships more broadly. So what are these questions?
Great. So basically, anytime we're experiencing or living with our animal companions, we're going to be experiencing either behaviors of theirs that we love, like when they come and cuddle with us and they hug on us and they're super sweet, or there's going to be triggering experiences, right? So because they are so near and dear to our heart, they serve as access points to some very deep emotions and energetic patterns. So, for example, if our animal companions are barking or jumping or nipping, we want to do the traditional obedience training, but we also want to dig deeper into whatever emotion or behavior in us that's coming up, right? Because if they're barking, for example, if I'm feeling frustrated, I really want to examine what that frustration feels like. I really want to observe it rather than be reactive to that emotion. So I'm going to ask myself questions like, where I feel it most strongly in my body, you know, what's the energetic resonance that it's reminding me of, and where else is it coming up in my life more broadly? So that's where the four questions are. Anytime I'm experiencing a triggering event or behavior with my animal companion, I want to ask myself first, when you think of this behavior and how you feel in the moment, what emotions come up for you? So is it anger? Is it frustration? Is it a feeling of helplessness? The second question you want to ask yourself is, where else in your life do you experience similar emotions, right? Does this emotion elicit any memories or past experience or broader pattern in your life? So if I feel helplessness, can I go back to the first moment and just intuitively hit on, when was the first time I felt helpless? You know, what does that feel like in my body? When did it happen? Or maybe if it's a feeling of frustration, I know that same frustration. I feel it in my belly like a fire. And that same fire in my belly comes up when I'm in a conference call and, you know, I have a really great point that I make. Everyone ignores it. But then, you know, my colleague says the exact same thing and my boss goes, absolutely great point. I feel that frustration coming up, right? The third question we want to ask is, what is the belief that characterizes this experience? If it's helplessness, is the belief that, you know, I have no control over my life or my situation? If it's that frustration in my belly because I feel like I'm not being heard, is it that no one's ever going to hear me, nobody thinks what I have to say is important? What is at the core of that emotion? Now, the most important question is the fourth one, which is, are you ready to change that story? Because once we've identified what the emotional resonance is that our pet's behaviors are reflecting back, once we establish where else that is playing out in our lives and why, you know, what's at the core of it, then the last question is, are you ready to release that and change the story, right? So if I'm feeling that helplessness, am I ready to reaffirm, you know what, I'm in control. I'm going to be about the fact that I am a powerful manifester. And then once you set that intention, the patterns change. If you're experiencing that frustration at work and you feel you're never heard, are you ready to change that story? Are you ready to say, you know what? My voice is powerful. I speak authentically in my truth, and it is well received. The reason it's so important that we ask ourselves whether we're ready to change the story is that all of these energetic patterns at some point have served us. Right? Staying helpless and small means I don't have to take responsibility for the outcome of my life. Or if I feel like I'm mm-hmm. not heard, I don't have to worry, you know, that my words might affect someone in a way that's unpredictable. So our animal companions are helping us access these huge energetic themes in our life.
Well, it's quite amazing. Everything you're sharing is quite amazing. And
thank
so
you.
My next question is, what are the benefits of training your dog in an online group as opposed to the one-on-one session? So tell us about mm-hmm. your training program.
So, you know, there's a lot of trainers out there, dog trainers, traditional dog trainers who do positive reinforcement training, and they're very, you know, sweet and kind and intuitive. And then there's a lot of animal communicators out there or pet intuitives who do the readings, but they're not very familiar with actual dog training technique course available that I know of that combines both the traditional aspects of working and living with our pets with the energetic, and especially in the terms of the chakras and the universal themes they each hold. So online is really the only place we're going to be able to access this information at this point. I do think it's the new way forward, you know, even in our everyday lives, we don't exercise the way we used to, right? We don't do just aerobics. We do yoga because we're realizing things have to be more integrative. We need to look at mind, body, and energy as one. So online is where you're going to be able to access this information. But the beauty of online is as we're creating this new vanguard of pet guardianship, we're able to access a community of like-hearted individuals. Because in being vulnerable and opening up to the energetic themes that our animal companions might be reflecting, it's important that we're held in love, not judgment. And I've had the benefit of creating a beautiful, supportive group. You know, we have Facebook pages, we have our online classes with live intuitive readings each week, but it's really an opportunity to be part of something bigger and be part of this new community, whereas you might not have access to that in your, you know, the city where you live.
Wow. All right. So how can our listeners get in touch with you, join the group, tell a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So I invite your listeners to join me at www.petprana.com. And there's a button that says, you know, click here if you heard me on a recent interview. And there's a free gift, which is the top 7 things your animal companions want you to know. And that's a fun 30-page PDF, a little read with, you know, kind of some highlights of the lessons our animal companions are here to share. But beyond that, it will tell you about my services. And if you're in the Los Angeles area, I do in-person training, both one-on-one private and group. I fly out to workshops if people can, you know, assemble a group that's interested in learning more and have me one-on-one. But then we do remote pet intuitive readings. I do a lot of remote online classes, one being Healing the Chakras, which is a 7-week online course. And each week we do a deep dive into a chakra, its universal themes, and the pet behavior that's associated with it. So you get traditional, you know, dog training advice, but also we examine the energetic aspect of what's going on under the hood. And whether your animal is, you know, having those behavioral issues or if they're great on leash, it doesn't matter. The chakras, and through this course, we're just systematically looking at the bond as the lessons that we're learning with our animal companions. So if you're interested, check that out online, and you can always find me on social media at Denise_trainer, like dog trainer. I just love to connect with other like-hearted pet parents and bring you into the fold and be part of my community.
Wow. And can you give any final words to a pet owner, you know, on how they can be with their pet?
Absolutely. So it's all about finding that inclusion, that collaboration. We're no longer coming from a place of dominance. It's all about collaboration. And even if you don't have a pet, there's certain things you can do. Even changing the conversation around the role our animals are here to share with us by, you know, shifting from the language of pet owner to pet parent or pet guardian. That helps acknowledge that we're not here to own or dominate. We're here to collaborate and work together.
Beautiful. Well, Denise, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom about our animal companions and what effect they have on us.
Thank you, Dr. Erica, for all the work you do and raising the vibration and sharing your beautiful community with me. I really appreciate it.
Yes, you're most welcome. And to those of you listening, I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Visit my website, drericagoodstone.com, and you can get a complimentary Healing Through Love Mastery session. And also keep your eyes open for my upcoming Healing Through Love 30 Love Lessons course. Bye for now. I look forward to speaking to you again soon.